So today is part three in this series, Jesus Christ is the Life. Go with me over to John chapter 14. Let's begin reading here in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. It says here, "Let not your heart be troubled," the words of Jesus Christ. Don't be troubled. "You believe in God, believe also in me." This statement begins with a statement of faith. Faith, belief. Believing in God's word, believing in God the Father, believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." We know that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, to the earth. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." This dissertation between Jesus Christ and his disciples had to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God coming to this earth and all that is involved with that. And it is a matter of faith. It's a matter of belief. Jesus Christ returned to this earth, and the reward that Jesus Christ will bring with him upon his return is truth. But it begins with belief. We have to know that. We have to believe that. Jesus Christ says, "Believe in God the Father. Believe also in me." Jesus Christ's return to this earth, it is imminent. It will take place. It will occur. But this dissertation is also about life, death, life, and eternal life. It's about life, death, the resurrection to life, and the opportunity for everlasting life. That's what this passage is also about. Life, death, and eternal life through the resurrection. To receive eternal life and to be with God the Father in the kingdom of God along with Jesus Christ, we must know that Jesus Christ is the way, Jesus Christ is the truth, and Jesus Christ is the life. Now, I don't think it's possible to cover, well, I know it's not possible to cover or completely understand all the ways that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's just not possible. We're reviewing aspects of what that means, and we look forward to complete understanding when we are changed to spirit beings. That's the only time when we'll have complete understanding. Right now, as the Bible tells us, we see through the glass dimly, we see through it darkly, but we do see through it. With God's Holy Spirit, with his understanding that he provides us, God does allow us, his called out ones with his Holy Spirit, to see some incredible things having to do with Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the life? I want to cover this third area today. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the life? You know, of the three, Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ is the life is likely the more complex concept and truth to ponder. The more complex truth to ponder. Now, as we muse on this statement today by Jesus Christ, the truth that Jesus Christ is the life and the desire for God the Father and Jesus Christ to extend eternal life to mankind is absolutely astounding. It is awe-inspiring. And when Jesus Christ makes the statement that he is the life, he is really making the statement that he is eternal life, all life. The main focus is eternal life, eternal life. So let's begin by asking the question, what is life? What is life? In Greek, the word life is zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe. Little and Kittle says this about life. It says, life is not a thing, but the vitality that characterizes all living things. Strong's says this. It says, life is the state of one who is possessed with vitality or is animate. Says, of the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. Now, both of these definitions use the word vitality, which is defined as the state of being strong, active, with power, and the power of continuance. That's what vitality is defined as. Strength, power, and the power of continuance. Vitality as a definition of life, I think, leaves me a bit wanting. I think the definition is a bit wanting. I believe it is incomplete, both Strong's and Kit Little and Cattell, with regard to using the word vitality as a definition of life. Vitality being something that is strong, active, and has the power of continuance. You see, vitality can be greatly diminished. Vitality can be greatly diminished, but life can still be present. I think that's an important distinction. Vitality can be very diminished. We can become very weak. We can no longer have the power within our bodies of continuance, but life can still be present. For example, you or I may have to make a difficult decision to withhold life support from a family member whose vitality may have waned, but whose life is still present. Some of you may have been there. I know many of you have been at the bedside of a loved one who was dying. And as that process proceeded, there was just a little bit of life there, but it was still life. It was still life. We may be at that bedside of a loved one where vitality is gone, but we hang on in hopeful prayer to that slightest indication of life, of life. Therefore, I don't believe that the state of being strong and active with the power of continuance is an accurate spiritual or scriptural definition of life. Now, since Jesus Christ said that he is life, the Bible is the most complete source for defining life or gaining a perspective on it. So let's see if we can allow the Bible to clarify what life is, especially Jesus Christ's statement that he is the life. We want to look and see what the Bible says. We don't want to just take Strong's or Little and Kittle or some other source. We want to look into the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about life, and particularly the statement that Jesus Christ is the life. What does that mean? What does that mean? Go with me to John. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In Jesus Christ was, and in Jesus Christ is life. Here in John chapter 1, verse 1 is an extremely revealing verse that in chronological time sequence references the oldest event in Scripture. This is a remarkable section of Scripture. John 1:1 in chronological time sequence references the oldest event in Scripture. Now, what is fascinating is that the true source and the existence of life is presented or introduced in this ancient passage. In the first few verses here, life itself is introduced. In this ancient passage, the oldest chronological reference here in Scripture, life is introduced. Let's begin reading here in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, with that type of introduction, then the next sentences about the Word, about Jesus Christ, must be monumentally important. When you open up with the fact that in the beginning of everything, in the beginning was the Word, and that the Word, Jesus Christ, was with God, and that the Word was God, whatever is coming next has to be pretty huge. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That is a lot to swallow. Anyone who believes in any other God or any other theory of the beginning or source of what exists and how it came into being will either believe what has been spoken or disbelieve it. Right here in this ancient, oldest verse, you either have to believe what it says here or you have to disbelieve it. Then comes this mind-blowing statement that challenges anything or anyone capable of contemplating its own existence. This next statement, all mankind and spirit kind must reconcile this as either truth or a lie. This next statement says, in him, in the Word, in Jesus Christ, was life. That's a powerful statement. In him was life. This is a quintessential statement that counters and defies the theory of evolution, including the belief in any other source of life other than God. Right here. In him was life. Christ was life. This is a statement made before and separate from the inclusion of physical life into creation. This statement is with Genesis 1 verse 1 and predates it. In Christ was life. In Christ was life. Spirit life came from Christ. And if there is theoretically life on any other planet of the universe, its source came from Christ. I'm often asked, well, do you believe that there are other life forms out in the universe, you know, on Mars, some other planet somewhere, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know. But what I can tell you is that if there is life on another planet, that life came from Christ. So I'm okay. I don't have to sweat on what that life is. I know because Scripture says that if there is life anywhere else, that life came from Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is life. In him is life. So even spirit life came from Christ. Now what's interesting here, verse 4 says, in him was life. This word was in the Greek is emi. E-I-M-I, emi. That word emi can be translated am, exist, I exist, I am, was. So verse 4, the beginning there of verse 4, in him was life, can be accurately translated, if Jesus Christ were speaking it, I am life. I am life. That's a powerful statement. I am life. Not just in him was life, I am life. Now, pondering that truth then elevates Christ and God the Father to a plane beyond comprehension. Now, we can ponder, I can stand up here and pontificate a perspective or theory regarding the origins of life, but it all pales in comparison to the truth that in Christ was life. That Jesus Christ is life. Now, John then continues by focusing our attention on the profound statement about Christ and brings that profound statement into the realm of human existence and describes that life in human beings describes it as light. As light. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the foundation is being laid here by John that light and life, in most contexts within Scripture, in many contexts within Scripture, can be interchanged. Light and life. And we're going to see that as we continue. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life that was in Jesus Christ is the light of men. John does not qualify this light of men as an essence that only righteous individuals have. Life is the light of men. It is given to all human beings. Therefore, the life of all human beings is precious because by extension, the life of Jesus Christ is that life. Jesus Christ provided that life to all human beings. So all life is precious. All human life is precious. Very precious. So life, whatever it is, came from God. John then follows that incredible statement by introducing the truth that there is a struggle, there is a confrontation, there is a challenge, there is a resistance to the existence of life, a resistance to light. A resistance to light, a resistance to life. This is what he says in verse 5. And the light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, past tense, the darkness did not comprehend it. This is an incredibly important statement here. Incredibly important verse that we're going to look at a lot closely in a moment. And the light that shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Again, we're going to ponder that a little bit further. However, at this point, John's words could only have been inspired directly by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Think about what we've read. No human being who just comes on the scene could have discovered this truth about Jesus Christ. You don't just end up being born and you just come up and out of your mind, without God's inspiration, come with the understanding that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that all things were made by this Word, that nothing that exists exists without Him, that in Him was life. That is a revelation by God. See, mankind without God has come up with their own theories through evolution because they don't read what Scripture says. They don't believe. They don't believe. And if you don't believe what Scripture says about life and the source of life, then you're going to come up with something that is not scriptural. You're going to come up with evolution or something else. Whatever life is because of Jesus Christ. Without the decision of Jesus Christ to give what was and what is in himself, there would be no human life on earth to ever speak of. It's said there in verse 3, without him, nothing was made that was made. And the indication is from Scripture that nothing would exist, or everything that we know as something, including life itself, would not exist without Jesus Christ. Wouldn't exist without Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if we fully grasp that truth as part of our own personal existence. But let me bring this truth, maybe make it a little more real to us as we sit here today by asking the following question. If life itself is in Christ, then what does that say about the challenges of life and our faith in him, our belief in him, when it comes to difficulties that present themselves? If my existence is because of Jesus Christ, if the only reason why I'm here is because of Christ making life available, then what does that say about the challenges and my faith in him when difficulties present themselves? What does it say about the well-known scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Belief. You see, Christ is ultimately the substance of things hoped for. Christ is ultimately the evidence of things not seen. Why? Because life includes faith itself, and because of life, faith even exists. Christ is the life. Christ is the life. Christ is the life echoes the first commandment over in Exodus 20, verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 3. I'll just quote it. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, "You shall have no other God before me." The first commandment. The first commandment. "You shall have no other God before me." Now, how could we even fathom having another God before God the Father in Jesus Christ, before Elohim, as he's defined in Genesis 1, how could we even fathom having another God before God the Father in Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ is the life? And faith in that truth also comes from Christ. Why have no other God before Elohim? Because Christ is life. Christ is, how can we fathom having anything before Christ? How can you have something before life itself? We as human beings. Jesus Christ is the life. He's the life. Without life, without Christ, without Elohim, God the Father and Jesus Christ, I'm nothing. Nothing. You're nothing. Nothing. I believe God wants us to contemplate life, what it really means. Jesus Christ stated that, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." Do we understand that? No, we can simply ask the question, where were we before the sperm of a man and an egg of a woman united to form and shape you? Where were you? You're nothing. You know, we might think about God and his existence and we think, oh, where did God begin? Oh, you go back to the beginning and God was already there. So you go back some more and God was already there. Oh, that's mind boggling. Well, let me ask you something a little more straightforward, just right here in front of you. Where were you before the egg and the sperm got together? That's just as mind boggling. You weren't. You weren't. I wasn't. In Christ is life. In Christ is life. Before that took place, before that egg and that sperm came together, before that took place, we were not. We were not. Before life, you were not. In the absence of life, you are not. I am not. Keep something here in John. Go with me over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're endeavoring to dig into and ponder this profound statement by Jesus Christ that he is the life. And it reaches throughout Scripture. Where were we before? We were nothing. We were not. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you, Elohim, you, God the Father, Jesus Christ, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. Do we know it? Does your soul know very well that God the Father, Jesus Christ, formed you in the inward parts? The psalmist continues, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Why does it say in the earth? Where do we come from? We come from dirt. We come from the earth. That's why it says from the earth. That's where we originate. And the psalmist, through God's inspiration, has the understanding that he is dirt. We're dirt and water. I've said that many times. That's all we are. Without life, we're nothing. But God decided to form and shape us in the lowest parts of earth, the womb of a woman. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being unformed. That's an incredible statement. He saw the sperm and he saw the egg. Unformed. And he said, I had something to do with those two coming together and creating you. In him is life. Your eyes saw my substance being unformed before it was formed. The substance being unformed. And in your book, they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. This gives an indication from my perspective that at the time God says, yes, that sperm, that egg, even if man does their deal in a petri dish nowadays, God is involved. That sperm, that egg becomes you. I believe that the scripture is telling us at that point, God knows. He knows your DNA. He knows your heritage. He knows everything else that combines that together, that there are a certain number of years, a certain number of days that are allotted to us. We can shorten them based on how we live, based on what we do with life, our life that Christ has placed within us, or we can possibly even lengthen them. But God knows. God knows. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. This is a statement about life, the beginning of life, human life. Life, even the beginning of life in the womb, is so precious to God. Life, whatever it is, was, and is in Christ. Do we have faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the life? We are because of Christ. We are because of him. Let me read you this, John 1, verse 3 to 5, out of the New Revised Standard. The New Revised Standard reads thusly. It says, all things came into being through him. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. Life. We are human beings, because of Christ, making available to us life. He says, and the life was the light. We get back to this life and light comparison or analogy or equality. In him was the light. This word light in the Greek is phos. It means light source, life source. In him was the life source of all people. In Jesus Christ was and is the life source, the light, the phos of all people. The sacredness of human life is a big deal. Life, life source, light source is given to human beings by Jesus Christ. And therefore, only Elohim, only God the Father and Jesus Christ has the right to end life. We know from this passage that life itself, we also know from this passage that life itself pre-existed the creation of everything we recognize as something, as all things came into being through Christ. So life and light had to pre-exist everything else because it came from Christ. It came from Christ. So life was already in Christ. Light was already in Christ from the beginning. But verse 5, I said we would get back to verse 5 here, declares that life would be challenged. Light and life would be challenged. There would be a resistance to life. Verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, past tense, overcome it. That's what it says in the New Revised Standard. The New King James Version says, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not, past tense, did not comprehend it. Now, this Greek word that is being used here for comprehend or for overcome is katalambano. Katalambano. This word means to take eagerly, to seize, to apprehend, to attain, to come upon, to obtain, to take. Katalambano means both to overcome and to comprehend, to take and to comprehend. Very two different meanings in the English, but one meaning in the Greek. Darkness, as it says here in verse 5, darkness did not overtake light, past tense. Darkness did not overtake light. Darkness did not comprehend or understand light. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? Darkness would not overtake or take life even through death. Darkness. This is a reflection all the way back to Genesis 1:1. Reflection all the way back to Genesis 1:1. Go with me back to Genesis 1:1. We're talking here about light. We're talking here about life. This phrase here, this statement here, drives us all the way back to Genesis 1:1. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not, past tense, comprehend it. What's going on here? Genesis 1:1. Now, we understand from Genesis 1:1 the incredible revelation that even before the beginning of mankind's creation and before the earth's recreation process in Genesis 1 verse 2, there was a resistance to the plan for the future existence of human life. That's what's taking place here. This wasn't just Genesis 1:1, God created this beautiful earth. Verse 2, Satan comes and just messes things up for no reason. Why? Why? What's going on here? Why this reference by John back to Genesis 1:1? It says here, in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God, the word God is Elohim, Elohim, the plural name for God, God the Father and Jesus Christ. In the beginning, Elohim, God the Father and Jesus Christ created the heaven and the earth, the heavens and the earth. Why Elohim instead of Yahweh or Yah? Why the plural name? Because both God the Father and Jesus Christ were involved in creating the heavens and the earth. Both were involved. John 1 verse 3 made that clear. He says all things were made through Christ. We just read that. All things were made through Christ, including life itself. God the Father and Jesus Christ both possess life incarnate. God the Father and Jesus Christ both possess life incarnate, but there was an agreement between them that the one who would be responsible for bringing forth life into not only humanity, but into the physical creation and into the spiritual creation, the one responsible for extending life was Christ. Christ. This word through, where it says all things were made through, this word through is dia. It means denoting a channel or act. Jesus Christ makes clear throughout Scripture who he is working for and who he takes direction from. Keep something here in Genesis. We're going to be doing a little bit of Bible hopping today. Go with me over to John chapter 5, verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17. We want to really try to get our hand, our mind as best we can around Christ's statement that he is the life. What's going on here? It's taking us all the way back to Genesis. And there in Genesis is made clear that it was Jesus Christ and God the Father who created the heavens and the earth. And we found out there in John that all things were made through Christ, through him. But whose direction is Christ working from? John 5, verse 17. But Jesus Christ answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought more, all the more to what? To kill him. They sought to take away Jesus Christ's life. Why? Why? They sought all the more to kill him. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews understood that Jesus Christ is equal with God, but accepts in totality the subordinate role to the Father. Jesus Christ continues in verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, them is in italics. Who did God the Father raise up from the dead? Jesus Christ. But what power did God the Father give Jesus Christ? He says, even so, the Son gives life to whomever he wills. This is some powerful stuff. God the Father and Jesus Christ are focused on expanding the God family by extending life, extending eternal life to human beings. That's what this is all about. It's about the resurrections. It's about standing up from below. It's about being given eternal life. That was the design from the beginning, and it would be made possible through Jesus Christ, but Satan was bent on circumventing God's plan. Satan was bent on circumventing God's plan. Back to Genesis 1, verse 1. What is going on here in Genesis 1, verse 1? About light, about life, about Jesus Christ being the light, about Jesus Christ being life. Here in Genesis 1, verse 1, again, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth were created by God the Father and Jesus Christ, Elohim, but through Christ. All things were made through Christ. So life and light preexisted the heavens and the earth. Life and light were in Christ. Even in Genesis 1, verse 1. Before the sun, before the moon, before the stars, Jesus Christ is light. Jesus Christ is life. So life and life preexisted the earth. Now Job makes this clear. Keep something there in Genesis. Go with me to Job 38. Job 38. Job 38, beginning in verse 4. Job 38, beginning in verse 4. Life and light preexists the heavens and the earth. Job makes this truth very clear. So it says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? Or to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together. This phrase, morning, morning light, daybreak. Who is providing that light? Who is providing that day? Jesus Christ. At the foundation of the earth. Life, light. When the morning stars sang together, when the angels were created, who gave them that life? Christ. Christ. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. This is talking about the creation of the angelic world. You just don't wake up one morning and understand this. This is being revealed to Job through God. Verse 8. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issues from the womb, when it made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you shall come but no farther, and here your proud ways must stop. So in Genesis 1 verse 1, when God fashioned the earth, formed and shaped the earth, set its foundations, the earth, God created on the earth clouds, garments, water. Jesus Christ did all of that. He also, at this time, angels were there. Who provided the angels? Who created the angels? Jesus Christ gave them life. And who is providing the light? Jesus Christ. The foundations of the earth were laid prior to Genesis 1 verse 2. And as John 1 verse 5 states, darkness was an attempt to overcome not just light. Darkness was an attempt to overcome life. Why? Why? What's going on here? It doesn't make sense that Satan would put all this energy into just messing up the earth. For what reason? The reason is because Jesus Christ and God the Father had planned to use the earth to bring forth and to expand his family by giving these beings that he would create from the soil of the earth eternal life. And the indication is from Scripture, and I don't think I'm speaking in contradictory to what the church teaches. The indication from Scripture, as it says in Revelation 13, verse 8, that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was slain when? From the foundation of the earth. The foundation of the earth was laid in Genesis 1, verse 1. So God must have had a plan with regard to this earth, with regard to human beings, before Genesis 1, verse 2. Because that took place, the plan of Jesus Christ took place, that he would be slain from the foundation of the earth at the foundation of the earth. So let's go back to Genesis 1, verse 2. Genesis 1, verse 2. See, this statement by Jesus Christ that he is life is all-encompassing. Genesis 1, verse 2. So we had the creation of the earth in Genesis 1, verse 1. The foundations were laid. We get an indication that there was a plan that had been laid out at the foundation of the earth that had something to do with the slaying of the Lamb of God. Genesis 1, verse 2. It says the earth was, this word was here is haya. This word haya, it really should not be translated was. The word haya means to become, to come to pass. The earth became without form, tohu, formless. The earth became void, bohu, and the earth became dark, kashak, kashak. This word kashak and its derivative, kashank, this word kashak means black, dark, darkness, dim. It means death. Death. The earth was without form and void and darkness. That next phrase was, that next word was in your Bible, in my Bible, is in italics. It wasn't there. They thought by adding it, it would add meaning, but it really doesn't. Because this phrase should read, the earth was without form and void and darkness on the face of the deep. The heavens and the earth were not created in that state, but the earth became formless, void, and dark. Death. Question. Was darkness putting forth the effort, or why was darkness putting forth the effort to overcome not just light, but the focus of John 1 verse 5 and Genesis 1 verse 2 is that darkness was trying to overcome life. Overcome life. That darkness we know is representative of Satan, the devil. We know that he was already created, right? We read that scripture, that psalm. The angels were created there in Genesis 1 verse 1, sometime before 1 verse 2. Satan is already on the scene. He's the one that is bringing darkness and death. Why? Why? As far as we understand from Scripture, the life that existed, again, prior to the physical creation that Job writes about was a spirit life. Now, spirit life, as far as we can tell from Scripture, spirit life lasts forever. Darkness could not bring an end to spirit life. Spirit life, those spirit beings, as far as we tell from Scripture, they were made from an essence of spirit that lasts forever. So coming down here and messing up the earth and causing darkness, not going to affect them from a death perspective. And then if we look at physical animals, birds, insects, all the creatures of the ocean that God would create, they all had an end to their physical life with finality. There's no resurrection from them. There's no everlasting life plan for them. There'd be no reason for darkness to try to overtake, you know, ants and bugs and bears and dogs and cattle and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. No reason to do that. The desire for darkness, the desire for Satan to overtake light, overtake life, there in Genesis 1 verse 2, seems to be predicated on Elohim's creation of mankind and Elohim's, God the Father and Jesus Christ's, ultimate purpose of giving eternal life to human beings and positioning them as sons and daughters of God above the angels. And that plan, as we read there, or as I referenced there in Revelation 13 verse 8, that was already a plan at the foundations of the world before Genesis 1 verse 2, back in Genesis 1 verse 1. There was a spiritual power led by Lucifer who became Satan to the devil as a force against eternal life being extended to human beings. That's what Genesis 1 verse 2 is all about. It's not just about coming down here and messing up the earth. Satan wanted to stop God's plan. His plan was to have this earth be the footstool, be the place where human beings would be transformed because of obedience to God's law from physical to spiritual and given eternal life. He didn't want to see that happen. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, you can jot it down. Satan knew this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, 6, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Do you not know that we should judge angels? Satan knows that. He knew that. He knew that from the foundation of the world. Whenever God decided to reveal his plan, say you have to be kidding. What? Did you say that those human beings that you're planning to create down on earth and reach into the soil and breathe into their nostrils the breath of life, that you plan to give them eternal life and that they're going to be above me? Yes. Oh, boy. We can't have that. And if darkness were trying to overcome life in Genesis 1 verse 2, then darkness would try to overcome Jesus Christ himself when Jesus Christ was made into a physical being. And if Satan could not be successful with destroying Christ's quote unquote life as a physical being, then he thought that then he could cause Jesus Christ to fall out of favor with God. Genesis 1 verse 2 was just the beginning of Satan's insane plan to not have human beings become sons and daughters of God. Because Jesus Christ is life and was the one God had given the direction and had the ability to grant eternal life to physical beings, Satan was focused on destroying him. You can just jot these scriptures down. You know them. Satan attempted to kill Christ shortly after his physical birth. Matthew 2 verse 13. Matthew 2 verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.
Why? Because Satan is using him as a pawn.
Matthew 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Herod, under the inspiration of Satan, is trying to destroy Jesus Christ. Trying to do what? Take away life. Not just his life, but the ability for Jesus Christ to extend life to what? To human beings that God had planned, really back in the beginning, that he would raise up human beings and give them eternal life, and that they would actually be over Satan. Satan was unsuccessful with that. So Satan then, throughout Christ's ministry, attempted all sorts of things. And then he had the great temptation over in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I'll just read it here. Satan then attempts to cause Christ to lose favor with God. You see, he's thinking, well, if I can't kill him physically, then if I cause Jesus Christ to sin, if I cause Jesus Christ to fall out of favor with God, I know God. I know how holy he is, and I know if he falls out of favor with God, like I have fallen out of favor with God, there ain't going to be any eternal life beings coming up. So then Matthew 4, let's begin in verse 1. Then Jesus was led, again, familiar place in scripture. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days, Jesus Christ fasted 40 days and nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. He was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, and just drop down to verse 10, you know those temptations. And then it ended here with Jesus Christ said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You failed. Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? He made clear he came to this earth to prepare sons and daughters for the kingdom of God to give us eternal life. Why did Satan try to destroy the earth back in Genesis 1 verse 2? Because he wanted to thwart that plan. Why did he go after Christ as a child? He wanted to thwart that plan. Why did he go after Christ with the temptations? He wanted Christ to fall out of favor with God to thwart that plan. Why? Because Christ's purpose is to extend life. Jesus Christ is the life. Eternal life. Eternal life. It says there in verse 11, Matthew 4, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came. Angels came and ministered to Jesus Christ. Incredible. Incredible. Go back to John 1, verse 4. John 1, verse 4. John 1, verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not, past tense, would not, present tense, when Jesus Christ, shall not, future tense, comprehend it. It ain't happening. It's not happening. This passage reveals a powerful and sobering truth. Darkness represented by Satan's rebellion did not and will not succeed to overcome life. When Jesus Christ made the statement that he was and is life in John 14, 6, I don't believe the disciples nor us today fully grasp what Christ is saying and how impactful that statement is. Jesus Christ, who is life and life itself, which emanates from within Christ, which Christ gave, was, and would be challenged by darkness. This challenge to light, this challenge to life, this challenge to Christ and everything to which Christ gave his life is a battle that continues today. Satan, for every one of us, every human being, and especially those whom God has called now, Satan is focused on taking away your opportunity for eternal life. That's his focus in Jesus Christ, his life. Revelation 21, verse 23. The indication is that in Genesis 1, verse 1, the light that was provided before the sun, the moon, and the stars were created, the light that was provided was Jesus Christ. He was the light. He was the life giver who first gave life to angels, the spirit realm, and then later in Genesis gave life to human beings. But Jesus Christ as the light and as the life of the earth will again be the case in the future. Revelation 21, verse 23. The city which had no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. It's light. It's life. L-I-F-E. But the earth, prior to the recreation of Genesis 1, verse 2, that had been created, then in Genesis 1, verse 2, had become dark, misery, destruction, sorrow, death, obscurity. Let's go back to Genesis. Back to Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 2. Genesis 1, verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God, the power of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. The earth had become dark, gloomy, Satan down there doing his thing. God said, it's not going to end that way. And God sent his power over and hovered over the entire face of the earth. Why? Because darkness will not overtake light. Life. You're not going to win out. Christ's statement in John 4, verse 6, that he is the life, is an astonishing, mind-blowing statement. Christ was about light and life long before the creation of man. And long before the creation of man, there was darkness and death that was trying to overcome and comprehend, which could not be comprehended by Satan, was trying to overcome light and overcome life. But Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is light. Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, in spite of what Satan had done, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. What was providing this light? What was providing this separation? The light of Christ, the life of Christ. And then Christ is about to bring light and life to the earth, fulfilling the plan of God that Satan thought he could thwart. That Satan thought he could thwart. Go with me over to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Christ is about light. Christ is about life. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Not the sun, not the moon, not the stars. Christ is the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of what? Life. Eternal life. That's what it's all about. That's what Satan was trying to thwart. That's what Genesis 1 verse 2 is all about. He's trying to stop the plan of God that existed at some point beyond Genesis 1 verse 2. That he would raise up human beings and give them eternal life as sons and daughters in the family of God. Now when we think about John 8 verse 12 in a spiritual context, and it is the spiritual context of light and life, eternal life, that matters here, not physical life. The Bible is very clear that the culprit behind darkness, the culprit behind death, is Satan. Now, I don't know exactly when God the Father and Jesus Christ decided that they would extend their family by creating physical human beings who would then have the opportunity to be gifted eternal life and become the very children of God. Now, did that plan predate even the creation of the angelic spirit world? I think so. Was the creation of the angels and the future creation of human beings to become sons and daughters of God always a part of the master plan that Elohim had from the beginning? I think it was. Based on scripture, Revelation 13, 8, the lamb being slain went from the foundation of the world. When was the foundation of the world laid? Genesis 1, 1. Jesus Christ is all about life. Let me suggest a scenario that I don't believe is inconsistent with what the church teaches, but maybe an explanation from a different perspective. From what we have reviewed so far, Jesus Christ is life. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing came into being, including the angelic world, including spirit beings without him. I think it is plausible that Elohim, God the Father, and Jesus Christ planned to have both an angelic world and a physical world that would have physical beings who would become sons and daughters of God, and that that plan was in place being worked out from the very beginning of creation. Jesus Christ, in whom there is life, gave life to the angelic world and were made out of spiritual substance, which as far as we can understand, is an eternal substance. God the Father and Jesus Christ decided to take the eternal substance called spirit and create an angelic realm, imbuing life within it. Go with me over to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. I may go a little bit over time today, but I'll see what I can do. I want to make sure that we cover this thoroughly. Jesus Christ, in whom there is life, gave life to the angelic world. Satan, based on Ezekiel 28, was given an incredible responsibility to extend the life that Christ had given him within the physical creation. That is why the first domain, as we will read, the first domain that the angels had, their first area of responsibility was the earth. The earth. Why the earth? We read in scripture that angels were created, what? As our servants to help us, even as physical beings. To help us what? To help us on this road, on this walk, on this way in truth towards what? The kingdom of God as what? Spirit beings. Eternal life. So it says here in Ezekiel 28, because Satan failed at that responsibility, it says, "You are the anointing cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the days that you were created." Created by whom? Created by Christ. Nothing came into being including spirit beings, except through Christ. So this verse in the creative sequence must land after Genesis 1, verse 1, but before Genesis 1, verse 2. Jesus Christ, in whom is life, creates and gives life and gave life to the spirit realm. The Bible does not tell us how Christ imbued life within the angels, but it says, boy, when they were there, they shouted for joy. They were there. However God did that. But we are told in Genesis 2, verse 7, how God imbued life into human beings. Right? You can just jot down scripture we know well, Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God did it. Why? Because life comes from God. Comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we know, is the one that breathed life in. Why? Because all life came through him. Through him. But Lucifer and the angels are individually created by God and given life. Angels do not procreate. This is a very important point to recognize. Angels do not procreate. It says in Matthew 22, verse 30, they neither marry or are given in marriage. One of the purposes of the angels in life was to remain obedient to God and to create and to maintain an environment, the earth, their first abode. To maintain an environment where God's created human beings could develop the character and eventually be gifted eternal life and assume the position as sons and daughters of God. That was their purpose. Again, Elohim is about granting life. God the Father and Jesus Christ are about granting life, even to the extent that God the Father, think about this, even to the extent that God the Father and Jesus Christ were willing to create physical beings who would have the choice and power of reproduction to both bring forth additional human beings who would, by virtue of existence through reproduction, be granted, those individuals that they would bring forth would be granted an opportunity for eternal spiritual life. He gave that to human beings. That's mind-boggling. Angels, poof, who you are. There you are, gazillion, whatever number of the human beings who are going to be my children. I'm going to give them the power to bring forth additional human beings. And by virtue of them being born, by virtue of them having the life that only begins in Christ, they then have an opportunity for eternal life. How many? It's up to the human beings. I'll keep this going until my plan is fulfilled, but it's going to happen through them. Incredible. God would put the miracle of creating human life into the human body. This plan by God ultimately means that human beings would assume a role in creation greater than that of even angels. Hebrews 2, verse 5. Hebrews 2, verse 5. Hebrews 2, verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. The world we speak of, the coming kingdom of God, God's throne coming down to this earth, he hasn't put that into subjection of angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him. Oh boy, no, we don't. Elohim was mindful within their plan that physical beings would be created and have in the future a place and placed, have in the future and placed into their responsibility as resurrected spirit beings, the world to come. And that absolutely blew Satan's mind. What are you talking about? You got to be kidding. You're going to take human beings and put them over, not only over me, but you're going to put them over the world to come? Yes. Yes. That's the plan, Satan. Lucifer was given, as Lucifer, the great honor and responsibility of preparing and maintaining the earth for God's future sons and daughters, but he failed. He wanted to destroy the earth in Genesis 1 verse 2. Do everything he could do to thwart that. Isaiah 14 verse 12. Isaiah 14 verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Son of light, you're not the light. You are given light. You're not the son of God. You're the son of light. But what a huge position you have. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, you have said past tense, when the earth became tohu and bohu, you said in your heart, I will descend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, God's angels. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I can't be the Most High. I know I can't be God. Maybe I can take Christ out. I can be like him. I can't be him. But maybe I can take Christ out. And then, as you know, the battle is on. What battle? You nothing. Be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to what? Sheol. Darkness. To the lowest depths of the pit. Satan was around at the creation of mankind and wanted mankind dead. He wanted mankind destroyed. He wanted mankind in darkness. Didn't want mankind to be able to experience eternal life. He was there at the beginning. Ezekiel 28 verse 13. Ezekiel 28 verse 13. He was there from the beginning. And he wanted to destroy everything from the beginning. Ezekiel 28 verse 13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz and diamond. Beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise. And the emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day that you were created. Verse 15. You were perfect in all your ways from the day that you were created till sin was found in you. Ezekiel 28 verse 16. By the abundance of your trading. What was he trading? What was he trading? By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence from within. You sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. What was he trading? This word trading in the Hebrew is rikolah. Rikolah. This word rikolah, which is only found in a few places in Scripture, can be derived in one of its meaning as slanderer. Slanderer. What is a slanderer? A liar, a talebearer. Jesus Christ accurately defined who Satan was in John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he is the father, the originator of it. Back in Genesis 1 verse 2, we see his handiwork. What was Satan selling? What was Satan trading? What was he slandering and lying about? He was lying about his ability to deliver on his word. And he provided lies to Adam and Eve about what? About eternal life and death. Genesis 3, verse 4. Going to go a little bit over. Genesis 3, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, this is Satan. What is he focused on? He's focused on taking away their opportunity for eternal life. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. A lie. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. An absolute bald-faced lie. But only Elohim can grant eternal life. And only Elohim can sentence someone to eternal death, not Satan. How dare he quote and say, you shall not surely die. That's God's realm. Because when you're talking about life, in a spiritual sense, you're talking about eternal life. Only Elohim can give eternal life, and only Elohim can take away eternal life. Jesus said, I am the life. Job said in Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job understood that he was nothing without God. I came in this world naked. I'll go out of this world naked. The clothes that I have at burial will disintegrate. But God. But God. Because that ain't the end. Job recognized that. Jesus Christ is the life. Darkness and death will be dealt with. For the angelic world, sin resulted in everlasting chains of darkness. That's what it will result in. Everlasting chains of darkness for the angelic world that sins. You can just jot in your notes Jude 6. Jude 6, the angels, the spirit beings who did not keep their proper domain. What was their proper domain? Their proper domain was earth, to prepare it for the sons and daughters of God. They did not keep their proper domain, but left their abode. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That's the fate for sinful spirit beings. For human beings, sin jeopardizes eternal life. Sin jeopardizes eternal life, but Christ... Christ gave his life so that when we sin, we can come to him and repent, have those sins forgiven, and be back on the road to eternal life. Back on the road to eternal life. The earth was for the training and preparation of the future sons and daughters of God. That's why at the end of mankind's physical existence, the entire earth and everything else that on it will be destroyed. Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. 21, verse 1. Now I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is what Satan was bent out of shape about. Saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as the bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is life. Let's end here over in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 19. When Christ said that he is the life, that is a powerful statement that shaped all eternity going forward. From Genesis 1, verse 1, smack through Genesis 1, verse 2, the creation of the earth, Jesus Christ coming here as the Son of God. Into our very day. Finally, consider what Jesus Christ has in store for us and for all mankind who decide to follow Christ as the way, follow Christ as the truth, those who follow Christ as the life. Everlasting life awaits. Isaiah 60 and verse 19. This is what awaits. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for a brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, an everlasting life, and your God, your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, your everlasting life, and the day of your mourning shall be ended. Verse 21, also your people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten that time. Family, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. May God help us on our journey of truth all the way to eternal life in the kingdom of God.